Today's shiur, Masechta Becharos Daf Gimel, we will begin on Daf Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, Toshma. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had posed the question, as we extensively quoted the Gemara, the Mishnayos, Masechta Avodah Zarah, that one is not allowed to sell an animal to an Akum. The Gemara asked, and what would be the halacha? May one sell unborn, non-conceived fetuses, ubrim, to an Akum? Is that included in the rule or not? And as the Gemara said, this question is a question both according to the opinion of Yehuda, who says you could sell a wounded animal. It's a question according to Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. What will be their opinion regarding the ubrim? The Gemara in the previous shiur attempted to answer the question unsuccessfully. So Gemara quotes a braisa, Tashma, Yudaima, it is the opinion of Yehuda, Hamakava Behemim Menav Kachavim, if somebody has a deal with a guy that the guy will give him his animal and he will raise it and they'll share the children, Vyolda, and now it has a Bechor, so it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, as we learned and will continue learning. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that just because the Akum is a partner doesn't exempt the halacha of Bechor. We assess its value, and whatever percentage the Jew has must be given to the Kohen. Continues the Braisa. If somebody gives a animal to Akum, a Jew gives his animal to the Akum, with the Akum raising and keeping half the children, Abish and Rishoy, as we learned, it should not be done. The Jew has to spend up to 10 times its value, and we'll discuss this more later, to redeem that animal from the Akum, for Naisan Kaldam Lakain, and then give it to the Kain. The Chamaimer, it is the opinion of the Chachamim. If a Akum has some sort of a financial stake in this Bechor, there is no Din of Bechor. And as the Rishonim point out, that the Machloik is between Rabbanan and Rabbi Huda is only as far as Hilchis Bechor is concerned. But as far as the permissibility or not permissibility of selling the animal, of redeeming the animal, there is no disagreement. So my love, first of all, I want to say that the discussion here is on the animal. But we don't have a raya on what will be the halacha regarding the uber. Says the Gemara, Dekanami, Diktani Kainzun Aysoi Adasara Bedamov, that we value it. So the Gemara first thought that this Rice is speaking about the mother. And then says the Gemara, no, it's talking about the fetus. And even though the fetus has not yet been born, because when they get into the deal with the Akum, the fetus obviously hasn't been born. It's only a deal that children that will be conceived, they'll share. Yet the Rice says that he gets penalized for having done this. So we see, Shmamina, that everybody agrees that you're not allowed to sell even non-conceived ubrim to an akum. And says the Gemara, this actually is the same as what Reish Lakish taught us. Messiah Reish Lakish, Dom Reish Lakish, Hamach Behaim Magas Lev Kachavim. If somebody sells a Behaim Magas to an akum, Koin Sinai Soy Adasar B'Dameo. Any Behaim Magas, even if it's an unborn fetus. But now ask the Gemara. We've learned a number of times in our shiurim that when somebody does this, Chazal penalized him. In fact, there's an interesting machlokes rishonim. We know the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin and in other places throughout Shas that a bezdin in Chutz Laaretz does not have the ability to connect knas because you have to have smicha, not the smicha that we have, and bezdin in Chutz Laaretz don't have that ability. Machlokes rishonim. If this knas, for somebody selling an animal to an akum, could a bezdin and chutz laaretz impose? Some rishonim say it has the same din like every other knas that Bez and the Chutz Lartz may not impose. And there are Rishayim that say, yes, that this Knas is a special type of Knas that even a Bez and Chutz Lartz can impose. Although the Me'iri does add, it has to be, can't just be any Bezdin, it has to be Bezdin of Gedolei Yisrael. So now the Gemara is saying, so we're learning that if you sell an Akum, this Behema, you have to buy it back and you have to spend, the Gemara keeps on using the words, 10 times its value. So now the Gemara's question is, when we speak about 10 times its value, Adasar B'demeh Dafka or Lav Dafka, how do we get to look at this? And the way that Achroinim explain Rashi's explanation of the Gemara is that is a dafka, and then it's very easy to understand, there's a specific number 10. Or are we to understand that the number 10 is lav dafka? But lav dafka could go in either way. It could go lav dafka, and the Gemara means that really doesn't have to be 10, less than 10. 10 is too much. Or it could go the other way, that 10 is considered too much. 10 is considered too little. And lav dafka, if you can't get it from the Akum for 10 times the value, then you'll have to pay even more. Says the Gemara, Toshma. The halacha is that one is not allowed to sell an Ever Kanani to an Akum. So the Gemara says, if somebody sells his Ever Kanani to an Akum, we make him pay even 100 times the value. So the way we're going to learn the Gemara is as follows. Obviously, the numbers are dafka. Because if the numbers are not dafka and they're not specific, so why did one time the Gemara use the number 10? And one time the Gemara used the number 100? It must be because the numbers are very precise. And here it means 100, and here it means 10. Says the Gemara, lav dafka. Not necessarily that the way to learn. Shani Evid, the Koyoyim V'yoyim Afkurim Mitzvahs, which means as follows. Again, this is where we're going to learn the Gemara. By an Evid, the number 100 is actually precise. Why? Because we all know that an Evid Kanani is Mechuyi B'mitzvahs Kenoshim. He's at least Mechuyi B'mitzvahs like a woman. So if you sell him to an Akum, so you prevent him from being able to fulfill the mitzvahs, so you have to now spend even 100 times the value to redeem him. By selling a behema to an Akum, and we discussed this actually in the previous year, what's the main concern? We quoted the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah. The main concern is Shmirah Shabbos. But when is there an inyan of Shvisas Behemtoi? That's only an animal that's owned by a Jew. Once you sold it to the Akum, that animal is not a Jewish owned animal. There's no din of Shvisas Behemtoi. So once it's sold, there's nothing that's really happening that is halachically impermissible. And therefore, maybe there the number 10 is lav dafka. Vikadamri, but there's a different version of this Gemara. Amrei Shlokish, hamach behemagas lav kechavim, if somebody sells a behemagas to an akum, koin tzunayis ad mei b'demeh. We make him pay up to 100 times its value by the behemagas. Says the Gemara, tanan, but the Mishnah says, hanoyis lav kabbalah, if you give your animal to an Akum to raise, and you'll share in the children, af b'shen rishoy, you've done something that's improper, so the Gemara asks a question, here it says the number is 10, and here it says the number is 100, and again, the way we just learned, these numbers are probably dafka, because if they weren't, so why does the Gemara one time use the number 10, and one time the number 100? Answers the Gemara, no. Mechira, when you sell an animal to the Akum, you completely disconnect yourself from that animal. And therefore, Chazal were more concerned. Kabbalus, but when you sell to Kabbalah, it's like Paskamenei. So the way the Mefarshim, I saw Rabbi Yoshev in the Sefer, explains the Gemara as follows. When you enter in a Kabbalah deal, at that moment, and we really started the shiur with this concept today, nothing really happened. Because what is the deal? That the babies, the children that will be born, you will share. So the Meicher hasn't given anything up, and the Lekeach hasn't really received anything at that moment, which we just finished explaining a moment ago, is the moment when the Aveir is taking place. And that's why Chazal were more lenient, and they said only 10 times. Whereas, when you sell something and it leaves your Rishus. And it goes to the Akum, she did something inherently incorrect, and that's why Chazal was stricter and made her go to 100. Toshma. So the Gemara is still not quite certain, is this Dafko or not? So the Gemara brings the Brice that we just learned. Darim of Shimon Levi, Hamaycha Abdullah of the Kachavim, Kainzun Esai, at a Sarba Damav. So here we see that the number are precise, because here it says 10 and there it says 100. It says the Gemara, Shani Eved Eloi Hadaloi. No. Here, maybe we were more lenient by an Eved than by a, we're more lenient by an Eved than by a Behema, because an Eved, as I said earlier, if you sell the Eved to an Akum, you have the two rules. You have to redeem it, and we're discussing how much you have to spend. And once you redeem him, he's free. But a Behema, you redeem it from the Akum, it becomes yours again. That's why maybe we're stricter by a Behema than we are by an Eved. Says the Gemara, fine. So if that's the case, my Tama, why are we differentiating between a Behema and an Eved? Rishum the Kahadrilei, because by the animal you're going to get it back and here you won't. Nikasei Tfeichad. So we should make this 11 and this 10 to compensate for the fact that you're getting back the Eved. Why is there such a significant spread that by an Eved the Brisa says you pay, by a Behema the Brisa says you pay 100 times the value, and by an Eved 10 times the value? It must be because these numbers are very serious. So if so, why Taka is it that way? Why were Chazal so much stricter by an Eved than they are by Behema? By Behema you make you spend 100 times the value, and here only 10 times the value, says the Gemara. El Eved Nusat Lashkichihi. Typically, Avodim were not sold, and the rule is, Kol Nusat Lashkicha LeGazba Rabbanan, and therefore they weren't so strict. Animals, they did a lot of business with, so Chazal was stricter. If you sold it to an Akum, we went, and you have to pay 100 times its value. Interesting question that I saw the Rishonim debate. So Al Gemara at this point says that these numbers are very specific. 10, 100, whatever the number is. So let's say you come to the Akum, whatever the Halacha requires, and you're ready to pay him 10 times its value, or you're ready to pay 100 times its value, and the Akum still refuses. So what's the Halacha? So some Rishonim say, you did what you could, and if the Akum refused, he refused. Some Rishonim take a different approach. They say, what was the point of Chazal here? Chazal were trying to create a deterrent, that you shouldn't do this again. So if you're going to be able to go home and not have lost any money because the Akum refused to take, then what's going to be to prevent you from doing it again? And they say that if the Akum doesn't take the money, you can't just keep the money, you have to give it to Tzedakah. Another interesting point, the Gemara says here, which we have many times in Shas, Kamilsat Leishchicha LeGazba Rabbanan. So the Achrayim discuss, what does that mean? 2 points I'd like to make. You know, when we speak about Gzeiris Chazal, there are two types of Gzeiris. Sometimes Chazal make a Gzeir because they want to protect a Doraisa, and sometimes they make a Takana. So the Achrayim want to suggest that when does their rule, or Kamilsat Leishchicha LeGazba Rabbanan, that's only when they made a new rule. So they're not going to create a whole new rule. The best example probably would be Muksa. They're not going to create a whole new rule for something that's not likely to happen. But a Gzeira, which is here to protect that we shouldn't come to violate a Deraisa, there the Achronim want to suggest that even by Mitzvah L'Shchicha Chazal maybe would make a Gzeira. Furthermore, I saw the Achronim suggest that even though, as the Gemara clearly indicated, Chazal are not going to establish a rule when it's a Mitzvah L'Shchicha, once the rule is established, it applies to all situations, even to situations that are Mitzvah L'Shchichas. The Chachamim, so we've been learning the opinion of the Chachamim, the Kozman Shi Yad of the Chachamim, if there's any non-Jewish ownership in the animal, there's no Dinah Bechar. Rabbi Yehuda, we've been learning, disagrees. Amar Yishuv Shnei Mikra Echadarshu. They both actually base their opinion on the same Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol Bechar. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan's opinion is, Bechar, would the Torah to only use the word Bechar, mixes Bechar Mashma, it would mean, even if you only have partial ownership in the animal. Kosav Rechmanu Kol, so the Torah doesn't just write Bechar, but the Torah writes the word Kol, Adikikuli, that you have to have full ownership. And if there's any non-Jewish ownership, there's no Dinah Bechayra. Yehuda Savar, Yehuda holds just the opposite. Bechor kula bechor mashma. If the Torah would have just written the word bechor, it means that you have full ownership. Why does the Torah add the word kol? The fil kol dehu. That even if you don't have full ownership, it's enough for you to be mechayiv and hilchas bechayra. Iba yisayma, another way of explaining their machlaikis. The kulam bechor ruba mashma. If the Torah just uses the words bechor, it means even if you own most of the animal, it's mechuyiv and bechayra. But the Rabbanan hold, Mar Sover, the Rabbanan's opinion is that the Torah, by adding the word kol, mashmalus muliyasa, the word bechor means that you only own, that even if you own most of it, yechayiv. The Torah, by writing the word kol, is coming to teach us, no, you have to own all of it. And if you don't own all of it, you're not going to be chayiv. And Mar Sover, Rabbi Yehuda holds, bechor means that you owned most of it. And then, when the Torah uses the words kol, legruya asa, that even if you don't own most of it, if you have any ownership in it, it's mechoyiv and mechayra. So the Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda here, that it falls into the category of a ribuy achiribuy. Bechor is a ribuy, and kol is a ribuy. And we have a rule throughout Shas, any ribuy achiribuy el lamat, any type of ownership is enough. But then I saw that the Achronim pose a very interesting question. The Gemara, in this explanation of the Machlokes and Yehuda and Rabbanan, was relying on a concept that we're very familiar with, the concept of Rubik Akula. So and actually, that is Rabbi Yehuda's final opinion, that if you have Roiv, or even maybe less than Roiv, you're Chayiv. So the Mefarshim asked, what does the concept of Rubik Akula mean? The concept of Rubik Akula, let's give some examples where we use the concept. You make Kiddush, or you have to drink Dalek Kaisis. So the halacha of Rubik Akula tells us that even if you didn't drink the entire cup of wine, you drank most of the cup of wine, it's like you drank the whole cup of wine. Or, Rubik Akula, we had it a lot in Masech Techulin. The halacha is you have to cut 2 simonim by an animal, 1 simon by a bird. And the halacha is if you cut most of the simon, it's good enough. But it's all a concept of good enough. The Torah says you did as much as we want you to do. But let's think about here. Here we're talking about ownership. So how do we understand what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that Rubik Akula, and that means I own the animal? The bottom line is I don't own the animal. The bottom line is that I have a partner. Rubik Akula can't make that the animal's all mine. Rubik Akula can't change the reality that I have a non-Jewish partner. So Mefarshim answer that we need to remember what is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not that, even though Rabbi Yehuda is the big machmir here, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if I have a non-Jewish partner, I'm a chuyiv and bechayra, Rabbi Yehuda isn't saying that I have to treat the animal like it's completely bechara. We had it a few times already. I'm only going to have to give up to my percentage of ownership. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. He's not applying the concept of Rubik Akula, that if I own most of it or some of it, it's as if I own all of it. Rubik Akula can make that what's not mine is mine. What the Gemara is saying is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying we don't ignore your share in the animal. Ask the Gemara, the Kamatei Shutvish Lavik Kamatei Puturim and Bechayra. How much Shutvis of an Akum, according to Rabbanon, will make it exempt from Bechayra? Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, Afila Oiznoi. If the Akum owns just the ear, and there's actually Machlokes Rishonim what that means, some Rishonim say even not the whole ear, even part of the ear, that's already enough that he's a partner here, and there's no Dinah Bechayra. Maskula Rav Nachman, ask Rav Nachman, I don't understand what you're saying, Rav Huna. V'leimalei, why can't the Kohen tell this Jew, who owns the entire animal besides the ear, shkol oznach v'zil? Why can't he tell the Akum, take off your ear, and I'll keep the animal? Because even though the halacha, as we said in our introductory remarks yesterday, is that once the animal is balmum, and it's a bechor, it's not put on the mizbeach, but we're not talking about putting it on the mizbeach. We're talking about, is it going to become the Kohen's property? And the halacha is that the Bechor always becomes the Kohen's property. So Rav Nachman is saying, tell the guy, take off your ear, and I should get the rest of the animal. Why is that enough? So the Mefarshim have many questions on understanding this Gemara. One question, and this is going to be a big part of our Masechta, is that you're not allowed to make a mum on a Bechor. So what's the Gemara saying? What's Rav Nachman saying to Rav Huna? Tell the Akum to take off the ear? No, I want to take off the ear. Another question is, what do you mean, tell the Akum to take off the ear? He doesn't want to take off the ear. Not only does he not want to take off the ear, if we remember what we learned in Masechta Chulin, Akum are not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. And taking off an ear from a live animal leaves it useless to the Akum. So what's the Gemara saying? Tell the Akum, take off the ear, and now it's my animal, and finished. So there are many answers to this question. I think the simplest approach to this question is, the Gemara doesn't mean it literally, that the Akum should take off the ear. Of course the Akum can't take off the ear, and he has no reason to take off the ear. He doesn't want to take off the ear, and he may be halachically not permitted to take off the ear, because he's not going to make a Mumma Bechor. What the Gemara is saying is that since the Akum has such an insignificant ownership in this animal, he only owns the ear. The ear doesn't make it live or die. Why should that make, says Nachman to Rav Huna, that share a partnership exempts it from Bechayra. And therefore, Rav Chisda, Itmar, because of this question, Rav Chisda Omar, how much ownership must the Akum have that it should be exempt from Bechayra? Rav Chisda Omar, Dovishai, Nevela. It has to be that if this part were removed or cut, it would be a Nevela. The common example given is the conurbation. Rav Chisda Omar, Rav Amar Dovishai, is a treifa. Not that far, that if this animal was missing this part, this part of the animal would be a treifa. Ask them, what is the basis of the machlokes of Rav Amar Chisda? But my kamefugi, says them, but treifa chaya. Will a treifa, can a treifa survive? The mandam Dovishai, is a treifa. The mandam holds that it's enough that the akum has ownership in a part of the animal, that if it were missing, the animal would be a treifa, kusava treifa, and a chaya. It can't survive. So that's considered that the Akum has a significant share here. Well, the man damadovish oisos in nevela, know that the Akum has to have ownership for something that will make it into nevela. However, just because he says he has ownership in a part, if the Akum has it and it's missing, it'll be a treifa chaya, so it's not considered enough of a significant ownership. It's worthwhile to repeat that the Ramban, it's more of a question from Masechta Chulin than from Masechta Bechayrus, asks a very obvious question. How could there be a debate if a treifa will survive? It's a reality. Look if the animal does or doesn't survive. So the Ramban, you can't have a machlokes and a metzius. So the Ramban says that the reality is that treifas die. So the mandam that says treifa nechai is very understandable. The mandam that says treifa chaya says they died, but that doesn't mean they died because they were treifa. And we can't be conclusively certain that they died because of a treifa, and therefore he holds treifa chaya. Says the Gemara, Amru Rabbanan Kamed Rapapa. So Rabbanan said, Hada Rav Huna Rav Chisda V'Rava, Loi Pligi. There really isn't such a significant disagreement here. Haba, Habi Imai. By the mother, that's where the halach is, that Rav Chisda and Rava say you have to have a significant ownership. But when we're talking about the Bechor itself, there everybody will agree with Rav Huna that even an insignificant ownership by an Akum absolves. And this svar is very partial. The mother isn't the Bechor. The mother is just the carrier of the Bechor. That's why Rav Chisda and Rava are stricter. On the Bechor itself, if the Akum has any partnership, there's no din of Bechayra. Amla Rapapa, says Rapapa, I disagree. Mashnaba, why do you all agree that if in the Bechor itself, if the Akum has even insignificant ownership, there's no din of Bechayra? The Be'inah called Bechor, because you're saying the Torah says that the Jew has to own the entire Bechor, and if the Akum even owns a smaller part, Lekah, we don't have that happening. So ask the Gemara, Imanami, so there should be no difference on the mother as well. In order that there should be a chiv of bechor, the entire animal must be owned by Yisrael for leka. And therefore he says, lo shna. Machlokes is both on the mother and on the baby. Ask the Gemara, maskla mabar of Ashi, maishna menefalim, da'afal gav delav nechi yusininu. The halacha is that if an animal has a child, has a offspring that will not survive, still kachi, it still has kedushas bechor. Damamar peta shega behema shagar behema. So you see here that as soon as it's insignificant ownership, it's insignificant, it's still considered a bechor. So here too, what's the difference? What the owner, what the Akam has or not? Every part should make a difference. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. What does Nifl have to do with what we're learning? Taisus asked the question. So Taisus answers that we should compare all the halachas to each other. And just like by a Nifl, there's a Chiyah B'chayra, here too, even if the Akam is a partner, it should be Chayiv and B'chayra. Why are we saying that the Akam has partnership? And according to Rafuni, even minimal partnership, there's no Chiyah B'chayra. Answers the Gemara, you can't compare Nifalim to an Akam partnership. Why? Kasam kim de la riva by chulin. Yes, by a nafel, it's a very flimsy life. But there's no akum, it's purely Jewish owned. That's why Karina Baba Behema Kabachar, there's a chi bechaira. Hacha, we're asked when an akum is a partner, even if he's a partner in insignificant part, kivin de riva by chulin, since there's non-Jewish ownership here, like Karina by Kabachar, and there's no chi bechaira. The Meshech Chachma says, now we can understand a very interesting medrash. The medrash says that by Makas Bechairis in Mitzrayim, if a woman was pregnant carrying a Bechar, and that Bechar was a Nefel, he died in Makas Bechairis like all the other Bechairim died. So Meshech Chachma explains why. Because we see if there's Kedushas Bechair on a Nefel, so any living thing that Kedushas Bechair has also Makas Bechairis. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar lo yalla bei midrasha. Rabbi Elazar did not come to yeshiva one day. Ashkechel Rabbi Asi. So he met Rabbi Asi. Amalei, ma am rabbanu bei midrasha. What did they learn in yeshiva that day? Amalei, so he said to him, Hach am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught us that a filum mumkal. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan taught us that Rav Huna is correct. That any ownership of an akum in an animal exempts it from chiyah b'chayra. And then he said, V'had etnan. We're going to be spending a lot of time in our Masechta speaking about these mutations. Where here you have a sheep that had a child that looks like a goat. Or Eiz Shiyoldim in Rochel. A goat that had a child that looks like a sheep. There is no Chiyah B'chayra. However, if it does have semblance to its mother, Chayiv. Then there is a chiv kavu, what do you call, there is a chiv b'chayra, mum kavu avalishra love. However, it's not chayiv in b'chayra that you bring it as a carbon, it's truly like a b'char that's a balmum, that the kohen keeps it as his property, as his personal property. So, Rabbi Yochanan really said two things. One thing, which is most relevant to us, is that he agreed with Rav Huna, that even minimal ownership is enough. And the other rule he said is that if an animal has a child, a kosher animal has a child that doesn't look like it, if it completely doesn't look like it, there's no din b'chor. If it looks like it somewhat, it has a din that it becomes the kohen's property. Comments the Gemara. Bishmuel Amr Mumkal, the first ruling that Rav Yochanan issued is understandable. Kamash Mak Rav Huna. That Rav Yochanan is agreeing with Rav Huna, or Rafukim with Rav Chisdan Rava. He doesn't agree with Rav Chisdan Rava that the Akum has to have significant ownership. Even insignificant ownership is adequate. However, asked the Gemara, the second ruling that he issued, El Mum Kavu Amai Kamashmon. What's he coming to teach us? The Kivin the Ishtalei, that if the child doesn't look like its mother, that's considered a Mum? Tanina. We're going to learn a Mishnah. Leonam Sechta that says this explicitly. Because the Mishnah says that if a kosher animal has a child whose mouth, piv don kishachazir, its mouth looks like a pig's mouth, hareza mum. So the Mishnah really taught it to us. What do I need Rabbi Yochanan to tell us? Vechitema, and if you will say, no. Hosom, the case that Mishnah refers to is Nishtana Bedavish and Vemina Kodesh Bechayra. There, it has a mouth that looks like a pig. And a pig, obviously, there's no chiyah b'chayra, it's a non-kosher animal. Hacha, but here, nishtana b'davah shemina Kaddish B'Chayra. The goat has a sheep. The sheep has a goat. But both goat and sheep are M'chuyv and B'Chayra. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to teach us, that if it totally doesn't resemble its mother, it's considered a mum. Says the Marhan Namitinina. That also is something that we're going to learn in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah speaks about a situation, Eina Achis Gedayla, if one of the eyes of this offspring is larger, V'Achis Ketana, and one is small. In Tana, and the Braisa, in explaining that Mishnah says, Gedayla means Gedayla Shekel Egel, that instead of an eye looking like its mother, the sheep, it looks big like the eye of a calf. Well, Ketana, when it says it's small, it means Ketana Shel Aves. It's small like the eye of a goose. So, that's how the Bryce explains the Mishnah. And now let's drill down. Bishlama, yes, the case of Ketanik Shel Aves, when the eye of the offspring of a kosher animal looks like the eye of a goose. So the goose is something that aim kodesh b'mina b'char. There's no chiyah b'char by a goose. El g'dayla shel egel, when it looks like a calf is a kosher animal. And yet we see that's considered a mum. Yes, b'mina kodesh b'b'chayra. So what do we see? So we already have this halacha, that if it has a mutation that makes it look even like another kosher animal, the Mishnah speaks about it. So what does Rabbi Yochanan have to speak about it? Says the Gemara, Ela, lab mishum demrinan, must not be pshat in that Mishnah, kiven to have ishtenei, that since it doesn't look like its mother, have le muma. So what's Rabbi Yochanan telling us that the Mishnah didn't tell us? Says the Gemara, loy. The issue over there is not because it looks different than the mother. The issue over there is a totally different issue. The Torah Kedosha, when it speaks about different mumim, speaks about a sarua. A sarua means that two of the limbs, and according to most Rishonim, doesn't mean only specifically the eyes, any of the limbs aren't symmetrical, they aren't equal in size. So that's what that Mishnah is speaking about. But it isn't speaking about mutations that it looks different. That is what Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about. Says the Gemara, Loi, the issue in that Mishnah is a different subject altogether. The issue of that Mishnah is the Havalei Sarua. And says the Gemara, Hachinami Mestabra, that the issue over there is about Sarua and not about mutations, which is left for Rabbi Yochanan to discuss. The Tanan, there's another Mishnah later in Amasechta. Mumim Elu, the following Mumim, Ben Kavuin, Bein Ivrim, if a Kayin has these Mumim, whether they're permanent or even if they're temporary, but while he's unfortunately experienced them, Paislim, the apostle. Yes, Aleim, furthermore, Adam, when you talk about a Kayin, a person, Ein of Shteim Gedoilus, or both eyes are very large, Shteim Tanis, or they're both very small, Gabe Adam, by a Kayin, who would accept Ish, Ish, Mizara, Aaron, the bin ish shava bezara shel Aaron, that all kohanim have to look the same. And this person looks different. His eyes are too big or too small. Al behema, by an animal, shteim gedoilus, when both are too big, or shteim tanis, nami lo have a mum, it's not considered a mum, because there's no need that all animals should look the same. Achis gedoila, so when one is big, vachis ketana, my tama. If the point is that it's a mutation, then why does it have to be when one is big and one is small? I feel shtein gedolos and shtein ketanos, even if they're both big or small, nami, it's considered a mutation. So what the Mara is saying is as follows. The Mishnah is telling us they are a different halacha altogether. That there's an issue that if one eye is big and one eye is small, the issue is only surua. And the Gemara proves its point. How does the Gemara prove its point? Because only by the person does the Torah say, or the Mishnah say, that both eyes are too big, or both eyes are too small, it's a problem. Because by a person, he has to look like all the other Kahanim. By an animal, there is no such concept. So what the Gemara is saying in one sentence, is all that Mishnah is teaching us is that an animal whose two eyes aren't the same size is a mum because of Sarua. But we haven't touched the issue that it's same or different than its mother. That Rabbi Yochanan talks about, and therefore the question that we began with, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to speak about the Mishnah said, he isn't. The Mishnah is talking about Sarua, and he's talking about Shinui. says the Gemara Loi. That isn't necessarily the way we have to learn the Mishnah. Shinui have a muma. Pshat in the Mishnah is because it's a shinui. Or the kashalach. If you're going to ask me if that's the pshat in the Mishnah that it has to do with shinui, then the halacha should be a feel shtein gedol shtein ketanis. Then it should be the same, even if both eyes are too big or both eyes are too small. It's already a shinui. Answer the Gemara. Hasam imachas priyosa yisera tevai boil mivra. By an animal, too big eyes just means that the animal is very robust. And that's why it was able to form larger eyes. Imachas kshusa, or if both eyes are small, it's just a weak animal. Tevai boil mivra. So what the Gemara is learning now is that we can learn Pshat in the Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah is not talking about Tsarua. The Mishnah is talking about Shinui. So if the Mishnah is talking about Shinui, why does the only Mishnah speak only about a big eye and a small eye? The Mishnah could have said it even by two big eyes and two small eyes. Says the Gemara, by an animal, two big eyes or two small eyes don't represent the Shinui. It just represents either strength or weakness. Only when one eye is big and one eye is small does it represent a Shinui, which is indeed a disqualification. But what's the problem? The problem is, Rashi asks, so according to what we're up to, as we end this piece of Gemara, the Gemara is indeed suggesting that the din of Shinui is mentioned in the Mishnah. And that's why an animal with one large eye and one small eye is disqualified. So what's Rabbi Yochanan teaching us? Answers Rashi. Because in this Gemara that we just finished learning, we saw that the two ways of learning the Mishnah. One way of learning the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching us about Tsurua, and another way of learning is that the Mishnah is teaching us about Shinui. So it could well be indeed that the Mishnah is teaching us about Shinui, but it's not obvious. It could just as well be teaching us about Tsurua. Now Rabbi Yochanan has the right to tell us, you know what Pshat in the Mishnah is? Pshat in the Mishnah is Shinui. So Rabbi Yochanan is just here to help us understand Pshat in that Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Huga Rosa. There was a woman that became a Geyrus. We know that Geshen's guy could cut in Shanaila dummy. So all her non-Jewish relatives, they're non-Jewish and she's Jewish. So she had a good relationship with her family who wasn't Jewish. And she had an arrangement with them that they would give her their animals and she would raise them. Asla kameh Rava. So the question she asked Rava was that she mechuyev and mechayev because she's getting a share in the children. Amalos Rava told her, lest the chashla lahadra of Yehuda. Nobody follows the opinion of Yehuda. The Amish Shutfas Ovi Kacham Chayevs Bechayra. Everybody holds that Shutfas Ovi Kacham is part from Bechayra. And therefore, since your brothers, your family, are your partners and they're non-Jewish, there's no Chiyah Bechayra. Says the Gemara, Ramari Barachel. We have Ramari Barachel many times in Shas. Ramari Barachel was the son of Rachel. Why is he mentioned by his mother's name? So, we remember that the Bansei, the Shmuel, the daughters of Shmuel, were kidnapped. And Rachel, who was Shmuel's daughter, was violated, or had relations with one of the captors who was non-Jewish. His name was Isser. Who ultimately, and at that point, Ramari was conceived. And then his father, Isser Geyira, was Megayir. But he was Hirasa Shaloi B'Kedusha, Leidos B'Kedusha, so he's always mentioned by his mother's name. I saw an interesting thing from Chaim Kanievsky. Somebody came to Chaim Kanievsky and told him that there's a minig not to call a woman, not to give the name Rachel. You know that Rachel was an Akara. So how could you give somebody the name Rachel? So he says, I'll show you this Gemara. Shmuel gave his daughter the name Rachel. He, in order to avoid the problem of Bechaira, he would sell the ear to the Akum. But he treated it very strictly. He still did not work with that Akum, with that Bechaira. And he would give the animal to the Kahanim. And Ramari Barachel's animals died. Ask the Gemara. We don't understand what Mar Baruchel is doing here. He's not working with those animals. And he's giving it to the Kahanim. So my Machna Lala did not have to come. Why is he going through this thing of selling it to the Akum if he's going to give it away anyway? Answers the Gemara. The reason he did it is Dima Asbalat Kal. He was always nervous that if it's a real Bechor, he may not treat the bechor properly. To avoid any problem, he made sure that it really doesn't have the din of bechor. But then he went and treated it like a bechor anyway. So if Mar Baruch is such a fine individual, ask the Gemara, how can my tamak kolach yusna Mari? Why does animals all die? Answer the Gemara, Mishnah Mafkalim Kedusha Sayu. He did the wrong thing. Taking it and making something that's a bechor and not a bechor is the wrong thing. And I saw the Brisk Rav says a very powerful point here. He says, what the Gemara's concern is about the Kayin, not about the Mizbeach. The fact, because there was no Mizbeach in the time of Mari Baruchel. So the Torah is not, they weren't concerned when Hashemayim that this animal was being brought, was not being brought as a carbon. They were worried that the Kayin wasn't getting his Bechayra. And that's why he was punished. Ask the Gemara, but what did he do wrong? You're allowed to make a mum so that when it comes out, it shouldn't have Kedushas Bechor. Answers the Gemara, as we just said. As I said many times, a Bechor that's born about mum, so the Mizbech won't get it, but the Kayin will get it. Here, Hacha, by selling it to the Akum, I feel Kedushas Kayin Kamafkalei, and that's why they were strict. That's why he was punished. Vibay Seima, another reason the Gemara suggests why he was punished. Ramar Baruch Yadalaknui Kinyan Gomer. Ramar Baruch was a Talmud Chacham, and he knew how to sell it properly. However, the Chazlei Inish Achrina, but not everybody is such a great Talmud Chacham like Mari Baruch, and they're not going to notice all the intricacies of the halacha and how to properly sell something, v'avid, and they're going to sell it, and it won't be a legal, halachically legal transaction. V'savan, they're going to make the mistake in thinking, Ramari Masud Avid, Ramari did it, so I could do it. And their sale wasn't good, and we could come to a problem. Many issues to bring up here. Firstly, we're going to discuss this as we get deeper into the Masechta. This is a raya that the din of Bechor applies even in Chutz Laaretz. Because let's think about it. Ramari Baruch lived in Chutz Laaretz. He lived in Bavel. Yet we see that the Gemara is very concerned about his animals being Bechor. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that this Gemara is a raya, that being mafker, an animal, is not a legitimate way of excluding it from Hilchos Bechayra. Because if being mafker an animal is a good way of doing it, so why do you have to go through a sale, which the Gemara says is complicated, you should just be mafker it. So it's a raya that being mafker an animal doesn't exempt it from Hilchos Bechayra. It's very relevant. Again, not that relevant, because we don't really have animals that many. But let's say somebody has an animal and he forgot to take care of it before Shabbos. And all of a sudden he sees that this animal is about to have Bechor on Shabbos. On Shabbos you can't do a sale, but you are allowed to be mafker something on Shabbos. So all the most Achronim say Hefker is not an approach. The question that they do bring up is, could you give it as a matana? Because a matana, under certain circumstances, may be given on Shabbos. Is giving an animal a matana a legitimate way of exempt, as matana to an akam, obviously, a legitimate way of excluding it from Bechayra? It's a machloikus achroinim. The Ksav Seifer, it's a, no time for the Ksav Seifer, interesting Ksav Seifer, makes the following distinction. He says, if it's an akam, that's your neighbor, so there's no problem giving your neighbor who's an akam a gift. So you're allowed to do it. But when the akam is not your neighbor or not your acquaintance, there's a new problem of loisachonim. You're not allowed to just give a gift to an akam. And there, giving the Akum a Bechor would not be effective. So Taisus brings up the issue. Taisus says, what do we do nowadays? Again, people who own animals and want to avoid a problem of Bechayra. They sell the animal, or they sell part of the animal to an Akum. Yet our Gemara says the Ramari Baruch was punished for doing this. So why do we do this? So Taisus gives, and this is Halach Lamaisa, that's what's done, Bezman Hazeh. So Taisus gives two explanations why, in this very time of Taisus, they followed this approach of selling the animal. One, Taisus says, because the Gemara says, what's a better approach? Making it into a Baal Mum. But as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem in this Masechta, there are many intricate halachas regarding a Baal Mum that we're not familiar with, so we can't rely on doing it that it's truly a Baal Mum. That's one pshat Taisus suggests. Another pshat Taisus suggests a very interesting pshat. Ramari Baruchel sold the uber, sold the fetus. So here you have a baby that's supposed to be Bechor, and what's he doing? instead of it becoming a Bechor, he sells it to an Akum to exempt it from Hilchus Bechorah. That's wrong. What we do is we don't sell the babies. We sell the mother. Selling the mother is not a direct violation. The mother is not a Bechor. But the halach we learned in Amud Aleph is that if the mother is owned partially, even partially by an Akum, there's no Chiyah Bechorah. So selling the mother is all right. Selling the baby is what's not right. One more point. Why were they concerned that somebody's going to see Ramari Baruchel selling and they're going to make a mistake? What's the mistake they're going to make? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that throughout Shas we know there are different types of kinyonim. Kinyon Kesev and Kinyon Mashicha. But the kinyonim that work by a Jew are not the kinyonim that work by an Akum. Ramari Baruchel was a Talmud Chacham. He knew which kinyonim. But the average person doesn't know all of these rules. They may make a kinyon with an Akum that's not effective. One pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a concept throughout Shas of Zochan La'odim Shloi B'fonov, Shlichus. So if I want to sell you something, I don't have to have you here. We could have a Shlich act as a go-between. Ain't Shlichus La'akum. So somebody's not going to know. Ramay Baruch knew how to do it even when the Akum is not there. The average person doesn't know how to make it effective with the Akum not being there. And the third shot that I saw, something I touched upon in the previous year, is that the Rishonim, Tosfos discusses it here, discuss how could you sell an Uber? It's a Davish Labalaylam. So the halacha is indeed, Tosfos holds that you can't just sell the Uber. You have to sell the mother along with it. And then the mother is here. But the average individual will not know that halacha, and he'll think he could sell the Uber alone, but selling the Uber alone is not an effective sale. And because somebody can make all these mistakes, that's why Ramari Baruchel, by doing this, could lead somebody to do the wrong thing, and Chazal were machmer. There is an interesting question, one final question. There is an interesting question. One of the kinyonim, probably the most common kinyon, is known as kinyon sismasah, which means if something is the way people do business, even though it's not mentioned in Shas as a kinyon, it's effective. That means if I do business with a handshake, and a handshake is considered the way a deal is consummated, then if we shake hands, then the deal's a deal. But that's Midrabanan. If I sell you a behema, a Uber, a Bechor, with a handshake, in a place where a handshake is considered a kinyon, is that considered that Midraisa, I sold it to Akum, is that considered an effective kinyon that Midraisa, there's no Chiyah Bechayra, or is that only a kinyon Midrabanan, and a kinyon Midrabanan does not have the ability to exempt us from a Chiyah Midraisa Bechayra?